grateful that you are here, and we are grateful that you are ready to receive the word this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Ready to receive. Bibles at the ready. It'll be on the screen if you don't have a Bible on you, so don't panic. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 through 19. And this is our final installment of our September series, Building for Success. The biggest shock of that is that it's October next Sunday. Can you believe it? Who's put the heating on? Oh, Zoe. Oh, wow, this heating gone on. I've refused, flat out refused, to the point where we were huddled around a electric radiator yesterday, and I feel that might be a false economy. Probably should just put the heating on, but never mind. September is almost finished, October is fast approaching. But our final instalment then of our Building for Success. I mean, we began, let's go back a few weeks, for asking the question, who or what is my cornerstone? We made that personal, and also for us as the church, who is our cornerstone? What foundation am I building on? What foundation is the church building on? And of course, we saw from Scripture that Christ is the only firm foundation. And we're to build for success with building on Him as our starting point. That should be our very first brick that's laid as we build our lives on Christ. And the church is built on Christ. Amen? Then we saw last week, where are we to go for our help? Where are we to go for our help, our restoration, our protection, our victory over our fears and flaws? And we saw King David led us to what, even for David, even in turmoil and despair, that he came to God. He came to God, his fortress. He came to God in a place where we would think, if we read Psalm 18, where you'd think, David, literally, everything seems to be happening because God has set you on this path. Yet he knows full well that the place for him to go is to God. And it's a beautiful psalm about God being his fortress. And I know that there were so many of you that went away and carried on reading through Psalm chapter 18, because I only did a few verses at the beginning, and they encouraged me as you came back to me and said that you'd read on, and that's fantastic as a church, that we're not just parking the Bible here on a Sunday, but we're taking it home, we're reading, we're learning, we're growing, we want to know more, we want to be built up in the faith. Isn't that what we're called to do? If people ask us questions, we know the answer because we've looked and we've searched the word and we've asked God to guide us in that. And then our final brick then, if you like, in our wall of success, and that's a phrase that I've pinched from Hugo's primary school. They have a wall of success, and if they do something really well, they get a brick to place in the wall of success with their name on it and what they've done. They get a letter home and the parents go, wow, that's amazing. Apparently, I mean, he's definitely had bricks in that wall of success. But our final brick in this wall, we're going to find in 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19. And just to lay the foundation, a wee bit of what Paul is doing here. Paul, the apostle, writes instruction and encouragement to Timothy, who's new in the work. Timothy is, if you like, Paul's apprentice. And Paul's saying, this is an instruction booklet, Timothy, that I want you to go away, look at, to read, and make sure then, Timothy, that you're doing what God has called us to do. You don't deviate from it. And we have the joy this morning, or any time, to be able to read this letter of encouragement, this letter of instruction, and then see how it applies to our lives. He concludes in the final part of this letter in chapter 6, as we've got chapters and verses to make it easy for us. He concludes with a pearl of wisdom. Who doesn't like a pearl of wisdom? Oh, I love a pearl of wisdom. Somebody who's just been there, done that, got the t-shirt, and he's able to impart wisdom that says, right, I need to listen here because this person has been through that before. Children, your parents are those pearls of wisdom. Amen? Or they should be at least. I mean, my two, sorry about that. I apologise. But we should be able to impart pearls of wisdom from life experience, but also from reading the word and studying the word, that we can share the truth. And this is exactly what Paul is doing. He imparts this pearl of wisdom for Timothy to look, to seek, to guide and instruct and to lead people in the right direction. So let's have a read of verse 17 through 19. We're picking it right up in the middle. So again, I encourage you to go away and read the whole thing. The whole book, it's only 6 chapters. It doesn't take long. It's a beautiful letter. He says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. So that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask this morning as we look into your word, Father, that you'll just open your scripture to us. Father, that we will be able to see the wisdom that's in these few lines as you imparted to Paul, as your Holy Spirit illuminated his heart, that he was able to pen these words. Father, for us this morning in 2023, to be able to take it on board, to listen to what he's saying, and Father, to so put it into action in our lives. Father, as James says, to be doers of the word, not to just merely listen to it, but to do what it says. And Father, we want to be action takers. We want to be a church that's ready to do what your word says. Father, we don't just listen, but we apply. And we pray, Lord God, that you'd speak into our lives this morning. And we ask these prayers in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, wealth in this world that we live in comes in many guises. Physical money. I remember at our wedding rehearsal, Lol and I, we've been married a while now. But I remember at our wedding rehearsal when the guy who was taking the ceremony said, so what I'm going to say is this, and for richer, for poorer. And of course, me being me, I went for poorer, for poorer. How true those words have become. But what it comes in many guises, wealth, whether it be currency, physical money in hand, whether it be land, whether it be property. And that really is just material wealth and just a few examples. But it goes on, really, if you think about it. People can be wealthy in the sense that they've got family that it's almost impossible to count. How many cousins have you got? Well, a few. And how many relatives are out there? Oh, there's a lot. We can be wealthy in different ways. Maybe it's children. The feathers on the arrows. The arrows in the sack at the back there. I mean, what a to have a house full of kids running around. I think as a parent of only two who do run around and make a lot of noise, I watched a fantastic little short video about somebody who's an older life, and they look back on those moments with utter fondness. And I think for us parents of young kids, we have to remember that. The noise that happens, that only happens for a short time. And I know that's easy to say and far harder to put into action. But what a joy to have the kids running around and making a noise and making a mess on the carpet. Because there'll come a day when they're all grown up and we think, oh, just 10 more minutes. And we must remember that, because that's good for us. And we must take heart with that. So it comes in many different guises. And someone, I guess, with all the money in all the world could wish for that little bit of happiness that they see with 4 or 5 kids running around. And all the money in all the world can't buy that. You see how wealth can look so very different. It can be one thing, but it can also be something else. So our perception of wealth, I guess, depends wholly on our circumstances, yes, but also on where we're looking for what is wealth. Where are we setting our gaze? And our gaze, I don't think, shouldn't just be on the material side of things. And Paul goes one step further. He goes into something that's an absolute, as I've already said, a pearl of wisdom. He goes one step further. Paul says to Timothy here in verse 17, and let's just read it. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. I'm just going to hold there a second. He says, command those who are rich in whatever way the world has to offer. He says, command them not to lose focus. Not to lose focus of spiritual wealth. Something that's far greater than anything that this world has to offer. Far more lasting rewards. And I outlined wealth just a few moments ago as wealth in many guises. And essentially, just to give you the Oxford English Dictionary write-up of that, an external form or appearance typically concealing the true nature of something. Wealth is in all sorts of guises, and if we're not careful, we buy into the disguise. And we think that's where we should be heading, because that's what the world tells us. But shouldn't we be listening to someone or something far better than what the world can tell us? Paul says to Timothy that there is a better way. There is a better way, a lasting wealth with a certain return. A lasting wealth with a certain return. This world says this is wealth. The huge house, the land as far as the eye can see, the garage full of cars, a yacht down in Monaco. That's what the world sees as wealth. And church, let me just add to that, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And the Lord sees fit to bless some certain people, Christians as well, with that kind of lifestyle. But the key is always the heart. The key is always, but always the heart. Where is my heart in all of this? How am I perceiving the wealth that I've got? Would I be able to give it up in a heartbeat if the Lord said, now's the time to give it up? Or would I go, well, 10 more minutes. Just 10 more minutes. You remember Lot's wife? She turned back. And this is the challenge for our hearts. If we say, Lord, I want to follow you. And he says, right, come on then. Well, give me a minute because we've got Sunday lunch in the oven. We have so much, if we're not careful, in the way. And this is what Paul is talking to Timothy about. What is our life's focus? And this is what we've been looking at right to this point now as we're building for success. What does success look like? What does it look like? Church, it looks like a person who's got a heart after the Lord. King Solomon had wealth beyond measure. He had a heart after the Lord. King David had a heart after the Lord. Church, we can have all of that, but what about our heart? And church, we can be the opposite end of the scale, and we feel like we've got nothing. And that's difficult in this country that we live in, because we don't really understand. I can have no money but still have a phone in my hand. You with me? We're talking about complete poverty and be the richest person in the room. Because I know who I am and I know whose I am. And church, that is the difference. This is what Paul is commanding. He's what he's saying to Timothy, to command those about him. Don't get caught up with what the world says, but see what the word says. Amen? Don't get caught up with the world, but go to the word. He says in the second half of verse 17, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. It's not like we're saying, Timothy, tell them to do all this, and they'll be absolutely on their own in a mess. That'd be rubbish. Probably wouldn't have brought that scripture to you this morning. But he doesn't say that. He says, command them to live like this, and this is the outcome of living like that. The outcome is that they're to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. What a joy. You know, hasn't that not been the Lord's hand throughout the entirety of Scripture? He's not leaving us on our own. As he went back to glory, what did he do? He sent the Holy Spirit so that we're not on our own. And so often we think, well, I've got to fight for everything. Does not the Creator of heaven and earth fight for you? If you put your faith and your trust in him, he is on your side. And my word, church, he knows far better than you or I. He has it in control. Listen, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount shares this. He says in chapter 6, verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Do you see that? If we do what God has called us to do, we can accept, because the word says, whether we put it into action is a different matter, but we can accept that what the word says is, if I do what God's called me to do, and he's got everything in hand, if I seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then all these things will be added to me as well. We can run after so much and apply so much pressure to our lives, yet God simply tells us, seek his kingdom first, his righteousness, and everything else will be added. Quick caveat. What? My bank balance will increase? Go from a negative to a positive? Or increase the positive? I was just talking from personal experience there. My house will be bigger. I will have land as far as the eye can see. And church, the challenge is for us is to go, well, you know, if God's got that in store for you, then brilliant. But he may not have. He may not have. If he has, fantastic. But he'll only give you that if you've got a heart that's ready to say, okay, Lord, if you take it tomorrow, then it's gone. We live open-handed. It's such a challenge for us. We had a fantastic, what do you call those things? A visual aid for that. There you go, close. On our prayer weekend, where the hand, you wrote your prayer onto this piece of paper, and you put the piece of paper in the water, screwed up. And as it took time, the water soaked it up and the hand opened out. And I thought, what an absolute beautiful analogy of how we should be living as the church. Open-handed. God, what's mine is only mine because you have seen fit to give it to me. So Lord, I'm going to live open-handed because what's mine is absolutely yours. Because Lord, I'm only here because of you. And this is what Jesus is saying on the Sermon on the Mount. And this is what Paul is expanding on to make sure that we're living lives that are open-handed. We're not putting our faith in the wealth or the banking system of this world, which we know is absolutely futile. We're not building our lives on the things around about us, whether that be family or friends or our children, etc., etc. But we're building on the Lord. We're building for success. And we trust that God's got everything else in hand. Amen. We trust that he's got it all in hand. Verse 18 is the heart of the matter. He says, command them to do good, back in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Verse 19, in this way they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. God knows, doesn't he, what builds us up. We can make no mistake about that. The word shows us so many times. He knows what builds us up. He knows what's lasting. He knows what's beneficial for us. And we've clouded, if we're not careful, we cloud our view of that. And we cloud it with what the world says. God says, just trust me, I've got it in hand. If we want to build for success, church, then that's exactly what we need to do. We need to regain focus of God's plan, God's will for our lives, to trust him, to have faith that he's in control, and to have faith to let him take control. Did you hear that? To have faith to let him take control. Church, if we want to build for success in our lives, whatever stage we're at, from the youngest through to the oldest, whether that's in school, whether that's in college, whether that's in university, whether that's at work, whether you're in retirement, whatever stage that we're at, if we want to build for success, then we need to get these bricks laid, to know that my cornerstone is Jesus Christ, to know that my fortress, my stronghold is God, and to know that my hope is secure. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 6 and verse 19 says, we have this hope as an anchor for our souls, firm and secure. So church, let's be encouraged. God knows exactly what we need. He's attentive, and his plans and purpose for our lives are in motion. Let's trust him. Let's seek him in all that we do. And I am certain that we will be building for success. While this music plays, I'm going to pray, and then Joel's going to come up and close for us. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you that as a church, we've been able to look over these past few weeks about building for success. And Lord, there are so many times in our lives where we get things wrong, where we do things wrong, where we say things wrong. Father, where our priorities have shifted. But Lord, our prayer this morning is that you would help us, that your Holy Spirit would guide us, that we would live our lives on path with you. Father, we wouldn't look to the left or to the right to see what everybody else is doing, but our focus would be on you. And Lord, the challenge as we just soak these moments up and we think about our own position before you, I just pray, Lord, that you would help us this morning to draw a line under what's gone and to look forward and say, God, you are in control of my life. God, take control. Use me as you see fit. Father, this is the prayer of our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray.